Can't help but sing with all the heaven roar. Forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, 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 oh. Forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, oh, oh. Forever echo, holy. Let me rest by every heart, waiting in eternity. Every lifted voice apart, joining in the symphony. Oh, glory and honor, dominion and power to you. All wisdom and wonder belong to no other but you. Yeah. A million angels fall, prison on the floor. All to echo, holy is the Lord. My heart can't help but say, with all the heaven roar, forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, oh, oh. Forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, 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 forever echo, holy is the Lord. There before the throne of grace, majesty before my eyes. I let it take my breath away. And a million angels fall, face down on the floor. All to echo, holy is the Lord. My heart can't help but sing with all the heaven roar. Forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, oh, oh. Forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, oh, oh. Forever echo, holy is the Lord.
Jesus.
Come on, just tell him how much you love him this morning, just from your heart. God, we worship you. We exalt you. You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be praised. Sing holy, holy, we declare that holy are you, Lord, worthy to be praised. You're pure, the spotless lamb. You are good and perfect in all your ways. And it's your kindness that leads us to repentance, God. I don't know if this makes sense to anybody this morning, but while I was playing the drums, I just had this thought. You're not good enough. I've never taken a drum lesson in my life, so I'm totally faking it. But I had this thought go through my head, like, you're not good enough. And I thought, I don't care. I'm just doing this the best I can for the Lord. And then I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about that there's some here this morning who just feel like you don't measure up, that you've messed up too many times, that you're not good enough. And I just want to remind you that the Bible tells us it's his kindness that leads us to repentance, and that he welcomes us exactly where we're at. We don't actually have to become perfect to approach him, because we can never be good enough on our own. We can never be perfect enough. We can never earn the right to salvation or earn the right to forgiveness. But it's by his grace and his mercy that when we say, Jesus, I'm sorry, I am never going to be good enough, but I need you. I need a savior, that we invite him to come, and that he comes in and he does the work in us. He perfects us. He perfects us. And so, I don't know if that's you this morning, but I just encourage you. In fact, why don't you just take your hand if that's you, or you struggle with any lie this morning from the enemy, just put your hand on your head and just say, Jesus, I repent for partnering with lies from the enemy. And Lord, help me to know your word and your truth and the promises that you have for me, so that I can live for you, that I can live in victory. The Bible says that we'll know the truth and the truth will set us free. And Lord, I'm thankful that I don't have to earn anything, that I don't have to perform a certain way to be welcomed by you. Lord, your arms are wide open to me today, and they're open to me every day, and they're open to all of us every day. Your invitation is come, come who are thirsty. Thank you, Jesus. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come, and we pray, God, that you would fill us today. And I ask, God, that you'd speak to us through your word. I pray, God, that as we spend time just seeking you, God, that you would move in our hearts and in our lives, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm really thankful for Dr. Rudy, who's here with us today, and I just so appreciate his heart, and also just the gift that the Lord has given him to really release the anointing. And you know, the Holy Spirit, it's like you're a conduit, and the Holy Spirit really flows through you, and I appreciate that, how you just flow in the Lord's presence like that. And it's a real gift, and I really appreciate that, and it's a gift that the body needs, and that we need to learn to just welcome the Holy Spirit, receive from him. And we don't have to, again, we don't have to strive. We don't earn it. It's something we receive because he loves us. Amen. And so I want to welcome, would you join with me in welcoming Dr. Rudy as he comes to share with us this morning? Sometimes God has a wonderful surprise in store. You never know. So I'm thankful that it worked out. Can we pray for him?
Yes.
God, I just thank you for Dr. Rudy. I thank you for this man's life. Lord, how he is just dedicated to serving you and honoring you. And I thank you, God, for the giftings that you've put in him. And Lord, that he can come and equip and encourage and build up the body. And Lord, we just pray that you would speak to him. And also, God, for traveling mercies today as they travel back to Red Deer. And God, I just pray for just extra blessing in him, his family, his wife at home. And Lord, that you would be with them. And I pray, God, that you would strengthen them. And Holy Spirit, we pray for your anointing as he shares from your word and your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
Thank you so much, Paul. Yes, thank you for inviting me. I know you're going to be blessed. Love this church. I recognize some faces here. And I was really humbled over the weekend, you know, just with Hans showing up and, you know, Paul, you guys, and you know, you feel the love, and love changes you. You know, you just know when people love you. I think we should just go a little bit further on that topic because, you know, the first thing that I recognize when I'm surrounded with people that carry so much love, Paul, and that's you and Hans, you know, and is that I can be myself. I can really be myself. I don't have to be or pretend to be somebody else, and they will love me even with my quirks, you know, my strangeness. You know, and we all have quirks and strangeness, and, you know, as I said, you feel like the number 8 ball on the pool table, you know. But that's how I feel in your presence, you know, Paul, when you guys, and oh my goodness, it's very humbling. I tell you, there is, when people love you on that level, it's humbling. Because why? Because you turn into your own heart. You look at your own heart, say, God, if people love me like that, you know, it's very rarely that we self-examine, that we do an autopsy of yourself. You know, take that good old scalpel and, you know, look in your heart and just scratch out all the stuff there. You know, it's we're always on the outside looking. You know, but I just want to say to you guys, when you showed up that weekend, there was a bit of self-examination on my heart and say, God, I can just feel myself, and they feel me so comfortable with, you know, I guess the battle of life is, we're so used to being rejected or hurt, or, you know, that you constantly have your walls up, you know, and so life form makes sometimes something out of us that we just realize, man, I don't want to be like that, and that's not how I am, and why do I do this? Because that's not really my heart. Why am I doing these strange, awkward things, and why do I become so awkward? Why do I become something that I don't really want to be, you know? Anyhow, that's how you know you are between God's people, you know, when you feel so loved. And what is the next thing next to love? Is honor. When people just, you know, honor you, your socks off, you know, they just, and you think by yourself, man, I'm strange, and I'm awkward. I know I am, you know what I'm saying? And they love even that edges of me, you know what I'm saying? So I just want to say thank you. That's how you guys make me feel here. This is what, my third or fourth time here? And, you know, you guys know that we bring in the kingdom, you know, and the kingdom is not always welcome. When you bring in the kingdom, when you minister the kingdom, things can go a little bit wild, you know, and awkward. So I guess the father is also a little bit, you know, we're like our father, a little bit awkward, a little bit strange. You know, one thing is he's a spirit, you know, like how do you love a spirit, and especially when he comes in and he shows his power and stuff, you know, how do you, you know. So it really requires from us a different heart and a different level of loving. You know, if the Holy Spirit's power come in and he sets people free, are you okay with that? You know, are you okay with his workshop? He has a workshop, you know? Are you okay with your father's workshop when he touches people with power and he sets them free? You know, so anyhow, I just want to bless you guys for loving me, Even me with my quirks and my strange looks, and you know, you probably recognize even my accent is different. You know, I was joking saying, you know what's nice when you're from a different country, you can get away with a few things. You know, you don't have to talk the language, so you know, you can make a few mistakes. You know what I'm saying? You can make a few jokes, and they think, oh, that's just his culture. So you can get away with a lot of stuff. So I'm really enjoying it. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. So I know God's going to bless you. God is always looking for servants. He's looking for servants. And so I'm looking for servants this morning. I'm looking for somebody here or people here that's going to position their heart and say, God, I want to serve you. I want to even serve you more. And the Holy Spirit's always looking for a servant that said, okay, are you signing up? Are you ready? Are you ready to be used? And so God looks for a contact point. He looks for a contact point. And what is the contact point? He's looking for your heart. He's looking for your heart. Now, many of you is going to sit here and say, you know what? I want to be a servant, but I really have no giftings. I really have nothing. And I want to say to you that the Holy Spirit, you know, love weaknesses. The weaker you are, the less you know, the less He has to take away from you to retrain you. Isn't that amazing? You know, the less gifted you are, the less, you know, because the Bible calls Him the helper. Jesus calls Him the helper. I'm going to just remove this here. What's that? Okay, I'm going to just, I hope you guys don't mind. So He's the helper. And He can only help you when you're weak. If you're strong and you know it all, you know, then you don't need a helper. You know, so that's why He gets the name the helper. And then He, you know, I wonder sometimes call Him, He's you know, the overtaker. He just takes over. Sometimes when we minister and the Holy Spirit comes in and I just know, oh my goodness, now He's taking over. He's moved from helper to, you know. It's like my kids, you know, I take them out. And then it's, at some point the kids, you know, you take them to people and then they just, you know, they just you know, just take everything over. So give me 2 seconds here, guys. I just want to, it's for me faster to look scripture here quickly. Let me just see here. I'm going to go to... just hang in there. Let me just make sure that's the address I'm looking for. I have Tim and Oriana here. I don't know if you guys have met them before. They're just amazing people. For you that don't know us, we're from Sylvan Lake. We're from Frontline Ministry. We've created a contact point. We've created a Thursday night where we do prayer line ministry. That's the main thing that we do. We get people to the front, and then they line up, and Tim and Oriana has been helping me. They've been faithful helping me, just amazing, showing up every Thursday night, helping out. You can see she brings in our ministry basket there for needs. If, you know, if we do minister and the Holy Spirit comes in and the power of God shows up, then we're all ready, you know. But they've been serving me faithfully over the weekend. Just such a love. They have an extreme love for the Lord. I just want to bless them. And even this weekend, they've blessed and helped me so much. Tim is driving. He's you know, we came through, I think, what was that? That was, we went to Moose Jaw. And man, it was blizzards and there was drifts on the road. And Tim just, you know, if he sees a drift, he just gives it. You know, and that helps my prayer life because, you know... You know, if it goes faster, I'm connecting closer to the Lord. You know, so I'm much more closer. But you know what? He's such a good driver. Anyhow, so we went through to Moose Jaw, and we've been out there, and God just opening up doors, and we're so thankful. You know, so anyhow, on Thursday nights, our main thing is not to do counseling sessions. You know, we you can call it an evolution of prayer. We used to start out in 2014 where we first said, okay, we need a contact point. We need to stand every Thursday night so that the people know that they come out for prayer. So we need a contact point. If you have a plumbing problem, you go to a plumber. If you have a thief that breaks in, you go to an RCMP. If you have a spiritual problem, you go to Thursday night, healing and deliverance rooms. So we thought, okay, we'll stand out, we'll become known that we would help you. And of course, we don't have the capabilities. We don't. But we have a helper. And we need the helper because we're weak. You know, so that is what Romans 8:28 says. Romans 8:26. If you have your Bible, it's important for you to get a Bible to look in the Bible because your spirit man needs to see that. You can probably believe it, but your spirit man inside, he needs to read it and believe because he's the one that's growing. You understand? You have a natural side and you have a spiritual side. You need to discover your spirit is right here. That's why when we pray in the prayer line for people, you would put your hand right on the person's spirit, right there. Right there. Where does that say in the Bible? Well, Jesus says, those who believe in me, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. It's the central point of your body. That's where your spirit is. So when the Holy Spirit ministers to you, you'll feel that he upgrades you right there. When you feel, you go in receiving mode before the Lord, you'll feel that he ministers to your spirit, and your spirit sits right here. A lot of people don't know that. And thank goodness a pastor many, many years preached that one day in the church and said, guys, do you know that your spirit is right here? And I said, no, I didn't even know I had a spirit. I thought it was just this guy. You know, and he, you know, this one caused me some headaches. But anyhow, because he's in charge, you know. But anyhow, so a pastor was good, you know, he just did amazing. And he taught and says, your spirit is right here. And so, we need help. We're pioneering something. We're pioneering something, and we need help. And guess what? Romans 8:26 talks about, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. You don't need a helper if you're not weak. If you're all strong and confident, you don't need a helper. But if you're sometimes like me in the valleys of life, I need a helper. I need, when a truck gets stuck in the mud, then you need somebody to come and pull me out. And I sometimes need that, even me. Well, yeah, I do. I need it every day. Every day, if I wake up and open my eyes and say, God, I need help for this day, then the Lord says, I'm here. I'm your helper. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, man, I'm not leaving you guys as orphans. I'm leaving you the helper. Jesus was a man just like you and me. But he had a secret. He had the Holy Spirit. He had the helper. Think about it. Because we think that, okay, he was one package. Yes, he is. He's God. Yes, he's the Son of God, of course. He's the Word of God. We know that. But for him to do the ministry he did, the healing and whatever he did, he needed the Holy Spirit. And so you and me need to learn how to work with the Holy Spirit. So, and guess what? You all qualify. The weaker you are, the less charisma you have, the less greater looks you have, the less you can speak English, the more you qualify for the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? The older you are, the more you qualify. Because my Bible says, I don't know how your Bible says, but my Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. So the older you are, the more you qualify for to be a servant. Isn't that amazing? It is amazing. And what is it all about? It's to set your fellow man free. Because God is always for his people. That's why he comes in. It's always for his people. It's not to make me look great. Oh, I got the gift and the anointing and, you know, the power and whatever, which is really not mine. It's God, the Holy Spirit, you know, that makes us look good. Do you have somebody around you that makes you always look good? There you go, your wife. You're right. My wife, you know, if she says, I love you, oh, I can run through fire. Just those words. If my wife tells me, you're looking good with that gray hair. I can run out a mountain. It's powerful. You know, to have some, but do you have somebody that always breaks you down? You know, tells you how bad you are, you know? And you know what I'm saying? But the Holy Spirit is different. He makes you look good. He makes you look good. He's, you know, he's the marriage you want to keep. He's a spouse that you don't want to get rid of. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying he's a husband or, you know what I'm saying? Where I'm just, you know, stick with me. I'm not getting weird on you here. But, man, you guys know if you're married to somebody that always builds you. You just open your eyes and say, and she says, you're looking good this morning. Well, you know, that doesn't happen much to me, you know, but very rarely, you know, I get those words. But, you know, it just, wow. And, you know, she said to me the other day, she said, you don't need to put stuff in your hair. I love gray hair. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Man, that was just, you know. But that's what the Spirit of God does for you. And so guess what? The less you have, the greater he looks. Because people say, man, that man can't even talk. He stumbles over his words. He can barely bring a message, you know. But the Holy Spirit makes up for that. When the Holy Spirit's upon you and in you and on you and the power of God's on you, you know, he looks really good then, because you look at this guy and say, man, he's got nothing. This guy's got nothing for him, but he's got one thing. He's anointed. He's got the Holy Spirit. So where does the blessing then come? How do we get the Holy Spirit so on us and in us? It's because you want to become a servant. Yes, it's called a job. Don't run. Don't say, oh, we're done with this message. That's something we don't want. We don't want a job. Well, let's read about it. 1 Corinthians 4. So the Bible's now talking about you. Okay? You. I'm going to give you a paper on the end here. You're going to sign up. You're a servant. You accept this job. You know, I'm just messing with you, okay? And, you know, so guess what? He created you. He, your father, created you to be a servant. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Okay, let's look at that. Now, the Bible's talking about you. Did you know that you're in the Bible? Well, look, let's look at that. Let a man consider us, that's all of us here, as servants of Christ and stewards of mysteries of God. Wow! What's the reward here? You get spiritual mysteries. Oh my goodness, how cool is that? Huh, Ross? You're getting spiritual mysteries. You had some mysteries happening this weekend to you. Yeah, he did. Electricity hit him. He turned from copper wire to gold wire. So, wow. God, how is that going to work out? Yeah, I love that. Thanks for putting that up. God, I need help. Father, if you want me to be a servant, I can't stand in front of the church. They know how my history. They know, you know, Father, I'm just one bag of anxiety. You know, Father, you know that my levels of confidence is, you know, you know how low my confidence level is. And so, bless you. So, I need help. I really, really need help. And so, to come back to, you know, the Thursday nights that we do, is we created a contact point, okay? Where do we see contact points in the Bible? Elijah's mantle. Remember, he rolled it up. He walked to the Jordan River. God's power was on a piece of material. He hit the river, you know, hit the river. Boof, the river opened up. So a mantle, God used even a mantle for a contact point. So we said, okay, Thursday nights, we're going to We're going to minister to people's needs. If it's spiritual needs that they have, and you know what, to be honest with you, there's people in really dark stuff that wants to be free. There's people that was in all kinds of stuff, all kinds of stuff. Why? Because they got hurt. You know, they got hurt and they empowered themselves into stuff. And so they want to know if they're free because they repent and whatever. And they want to know if their helper went away. And sometimes they have a few helpers in their craftiness. You understand? There's the kingdom of light and there's a kingdom of darkness. Now, people that's in the kingdom of darkness sometimes got really, really hurt and got really angry and empowered themselves. You know, where do they empower? Well, chapters. Have you walked in the spiritual part side of chapters? How to cast a spell of your ex, on your ex. Like, what? What kind of Bible is that? We cast blessings, you know, but there's people out there that cast, how to cast a spell on your ex. Have you seen a book like that? You know, yes, for us as Christians, it's shocking, you know. But don't be naive. Don't be naive, people. The world is real. You know, and I need to tell you, the reality is there's people that get into stuff because they got so hurt and rejected, and they don't know the love of God, you know. And anyhow, so we created a place where those people can come, and, you know, we say, okay, can you just check and see if things are gone? And that's what we did. And there was an evolution of prayer. There was, how did we start out? Well, 2014, we started out with putting four chairs together and make different groups, and that's how we start praying for people. And then we saw this is not working because people come in for a counseling session. We're not there for a counseling session. A counseling session they can get at a psychologist, trained people. If they come in there, they need spiritual help. And, you know, if you say spiritual help, you hear the word help. I know a helper that can help. In their weaknesses and whether, you know, so for a few years we did the chairs. We collected the chairs and, you know, and unfortunately many of those cases just turned into the sadness is the Holy Spirit wasn't involved. Once again he was just pushed to the side and the counseling sessions went there. Which is great, but that's not what we wanted. We wanted to make sure God does the job. Because we want God to build the house. What does the Bible say? Let's go to Psalms 127. Let's go to Psalms 127. You guys enjoying this? Is this blessing you? Okay. I guess it's an evolution of prayer. Let's call it the evolution of prayer. How does that sound? Okay, let's go to Psalm 127. Oops. There we go. It's in the Bible, I know. There we go. Okay. Unless the Lord builds the house. See that? They labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. If the Lord is not involved, what are we doing? You're just, after a few Thursday nights, you're just tired of counseling out because you're just exhausted because next week they're just back with the same problems and same issue, and you know what I'm saying? So we need help. And my Bible says there's a helper, you know. And so you guys can just now imagine, like, okay, you're out on new territory, guys. Because counseling we can do, but if you bring in the Lord, then it means you need to know the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you get His attention? How does He come in? How does He touch? So, we were pioneers. You know, we were like people discovering Africa, you know, or people discovering whatever country, whatever, you know, where it's just, you know. So, we need help, and we need the Holy Spirit to help us. And so, so we had the chairs, and that worked for a while, but and then what people do is they come and sit, you know, they sit, you know, we said, no, you stand up, because you stand up, you have to open up your spirit, because if they sit, they close their spirit, they would sit like this, and I said, no, you got to stand up, and you pull up your spirit, you know, And that's all we did. And we just put our hands on their spirit and we start praying for them. Oh my goodness. And the Holy Spirit liked it. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's power came in. They start shaking. Our jaws went like that. Huh? Because when God does something, you know it's not me. But something we've created or something we've discovered that got the interest of the power of God. And so people just, you know, fell on the ground and people say, oh my goodness, God is here. And we went, yeah, God is here. And you know what I'm saying? And so we just start building on that. But what really is interesting, if you go to the Bible, you'll see Jeremiah 1 verse 12. Jeremiah 1 verse 12. And you guys know this verse very well. It says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I'm ready to perform my word. So God is watching over his word. He's ready. God is always watching over his word to act upon his word. And so we had to look in the Bible and say, okay, we've got the line now, and we're making people stand up. We're putting our hands on it. So we see that the master put his hands. We see, you have seen well, Jeremiah says, I'm ready to perform. We've seen that our master put his hands on people. We see that our master, Jesus Christ, did. We see that, he worked with the Holy Spirit. So we see, oh my goodness, we're following the right pattern. And that's pleasing to the Lord, and we're acting on what we're seeing. You know, you remember when Elijah rolled up his mantle, he hit the water, and the Jordan River went open like this. What did his servants see? Because you're now servants, remember? 1 Corinthians 4 says, you're servants. And you're stewards of mysteries now. And so what we've seen is that when Elijah hit the river and Elisha got the mantle, he did the same as his master and got the same results. And we thought, that can't be that easy. You just see what the master did, what Jesus did, and the Holy Spirit, because Jesus was a human just like you and me, and he had the helper for, you know. And we see that the Holy Spirit is honoring us the same way that he honored Jesus. And so the evolution just becomes bigger and bigger. We also notice that we can't pray without eyes closed. If you have a personal prayer to God, you close your eyes and that's your personal time. But when you minister to people, you open your eyes because you want to see what, you don't want to miss what God's doing. You don't want to see what, you know, miss what the Holy Spirit's doing. And that's your reward because you're having a little bit of a chuckle too. Like, look what God just did, and flip, flop, flop, flop on the floor. It looked like you just caught a fish and they fall over and they yell and they shout and that's your reward. You can't believe God's that good. You can't believe God is, you know. And sometimes we don't know what God is doing, so we need to understand what is the nature of the Holy Spirit. Why does he do that? So we had to go to Moses. Have you ever gone to Moses? Now this man is getting weird on us. He's going to Moses. Like, let's throw him out. But let's go to Moses. Moses is in Exodus 20. We have to look at the experience that Moses had with God, okay? Because we're learning, we're seeing. We're seeing now, okay? Let's go. We want to understand why does the Holy Spirit come in? Why does he come in? And why is it important that he comes in? Well, let's just see. We need to understand his nature. So let's go to Exodus 20 verse 2. Does this bless you guys? You're learning something. Oh my goodness, I'm going home with a job. That man said, I got a job. Look, I'll show you. It's in the Bible. The Bible says I'm a servant. I just got a job. I want to shake that thing. I didn't want a job, but now I've got a job. Oh my goodness. The truth is supposed to set me free, but now I found I got a job. So God wants to use you. You want to mean he created me to use me? You mean I'm actually meaningful with my life? There's some meaning? Yes, there is. That's what the Lord, the word says about you. Okay, so here is the Holy Spirit reveals his nature to Moses. He says, Moses, I am the Lord. He says, I'm not just like this God or that God or that God. My nature is, Moses, I am that God. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The other word for bondage is slavery. Now, are you still caught in slavery? Oh, yes, I can just check your face out. It's been a long haul, brother. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy to see that people are still caught in slavery, because I'm just joking, okay? You know, I'm just joking. I need to joke, because otherwise if we don't joke, we don't get the revelation. You know what I'm saying? But it's easy to see who's still caught in slavery and bondage. Their joy is gone. Phew! So the Holy Spirit's got his job cut out here, because you're still caught in a house of bondage. Somewhere the enemy has sold you a lie and bound you. Jesus is the opposite. He gives you a truth and he loosens you. Yeah, somewhere, you know, you're caught in a lie. And Jesus is the opposite. Okay, so here Moses, he reveals his nature to Moses. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So guess what? You got your prayer line up, so you know now what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Because he reveals himself. Jeremiah, yeah, let's just go back to Jeremiah 1 verse 12 again. We're seeing well now. We're getting smart. Oh my goodness, I have a helper now because I don't got it. Look at me. I can barely speak, so I need a helper. So okay, right, I see that, so I qualify. Okay, I see the Lord's nature now. Oh my goodness, look at that. Then the Lord said, you have seen well, for I'm ready to. He's watching over his word. He's watching to see if you're seeing his nature. Oh my goodness, he is now. They understand their purpose. They're setting their hearts now, because that's the contact point for God. God's watching and see, oh my goodness, he's setting his heart right now to serve me. He's ready to pick up the mantle to serve me. And okay, Holy Spirit, you need to come and help, because look, the heart is turning. They're seeing now. Their eyes are open. They're seeing now. Okay, so that's you. They're right there. So here we are. We have the prayer line now. So we see that God touches people wildly and does things, and you know, your jaw drop and you're like, woo, what happened just right here? And sometimes it gets really odd, I tell you. But anyhow, so we had to ask ourselves, what is the Holy Spirit doing here? My goodness, he's never changed. He's still bringing them out of the house of bondage, still out of the house of slavery. So guys, what's happening now is we have faith, and we're giants in faith, but we don't have spiritual knowledge. We don't. So we're infants in spiritual knowledge. Infants, and so we need help. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us, and he does teach you. Where does he teach you? Let's just look at that. Let's go to so we needed help. We needed big help to okay, I think my iPad just stalled, but let's just see. Lord, I need help. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to 1 John 2:27. Now, when you are between servants of God, you'll hear the lingo. You'll hear the language. You understand? See, the Jewish people would be long gone. You would not know of the Jewish people if they did not keep their language. The language keeps the culture. I'm a South African. If the Afrikaans language goes, my culture is gone. If you destroy the language, you destroy the culture. Where do we see that? Well, in the Bible, the Tower of Babylon. Remember, they were building a tower towards heaven. What did God do? Change the language. Culture is gone. You see it? So if they touch your language, they're touching your culture. And in the kingdom, when we advance as the church, the kingdom, there need to be a language for that culture. So if they don't talk about the anointing, then there's no kingdom. You understand? If how do you know you're in the right kingdom culture? If they don't talk about the anointing, the culture is gone. You see that? But the anointing which you have received, that means the Holy Spirit and His power. The anointing is the Holy Spirit and His power. The anointing which you have received abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. What is he talking about? In the prayer line, the Holy Spirit start teaching you how He's moving, how He's touching, how He's breaking stuff off. He's teaching you. The Holy Spirit Himself is teaching you. But the anointing, if they talk about the anointing, that's the Holy Spirit and His power. Do you see that? Okay, a lot of information for you this morning. So, we got the prayer line, and people stood up. Number one, we kept our eyes open because we want to see what God's doing. Number two, we know that God on earth here is the Holy Spirit. And that's a tough one to think about too, because you said, okay, well, Jesus is. Yes, Jesus is. But He's here now in the Spirit. The law, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, the Bible says. So we know the Lord Jesus, He is the Spirit. Okay? So we know that. So we had the prayer line. We had them all stand right up. The spirits are open. And then we discovered some interesting stuff. We discovered that certain people are super sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You can barely come close to them. You can barely come close to them. And we've discovered now, it's like discovering dinosaurs, guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, because we're so behind with our spiritual knowledge. We're giants in faith. Ooh, we quote this Bible back and forth and, you know, oh yeah, brother, you know. But, you know, with our spiritual knowledge, we're infants. You know, so, but the good news is, God is, you know, helping us. So we're discovering stuff, and it's, as I said, it's like discovering dinosaurs, you know. That if somebody is sensitive in the family, and then usually the whole family is sensitive. So now we start doing family blessings. We line them up, mom, dad, whatever, and we just wave like that, and whop, the whole family falls under the Spirit of God. And we're like, wow, that's new territory. You know what I'm saying? What we also found, when we look at the Mass, that He laid hands on people, and what we found is that many people's spirit is still asleep. And when you put these two little jumper cables on them, it wakes their spirit up, and their eyes is like that, and the first thing they usually say, oh, He's alive. I thought He was just in the book. Some people say, man, I sleep better. My headaches are gone. So we see that He's doing miracles. So He's still the miracle God. He still does miracles. So we have a contact point. We showed up every Thursday night for the people. They drive all over the place in. They get a touch from the Holy Spirit. Some of them really picks up the mantle, because that's what you're waiting for. You're waiting for somebody that says, Rudy, I see what you're saying. You know, you've seen well, Jeremiah, for I'm ready to perform. You know, God says, I'm ready to. We're waiting for the guys that says, you know, what you guys have here, we're going to pick up the mantle and go to our place and start it. You know what I'm saying? I'm waiting for the 1 Corinthians 4 that says, we are servants and stewards of mysteries. What does the next verse say? Can you look at that for me again? Like 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, and then verse 2. I'm waiting for not just the touch, that people get the touch, and, you know, let a man consider, yeah, that's beautiful, stewards. Okay, let's just read that. Let a man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of mysteries. Moreover, it's required in stewards to be found faithful. You know why Abram was called faithful? He held on faithfully to the promises of God. He held on faithfully. So stewards to be found faithful. But Rudy, what if I make a fool of myself? What if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up? Well, I'm going to show you in the Word of God that he doesn't rely on your nature. So we're going to go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, I believe. Yeah, Rihanna, did you notice I can actually remember the Bible verses today? Where it is. Thank you, Jesus. You guys good? Are we good for time? We're pretty going to close here, is that right? Pretty soon here. Okay. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He doesn't rely on your nature. So we come, we show up Thursday nights, the Holy Spirit's there already. You know, why? Because he cannot rely on your faithfulness. So you had a rough week. Okay? You had a rough week. People say stuff to you, broke you down. You feel terrible. You didn't pray much. You know, you just didn't, your thoughts wasn't much in the Word. You didn't spend time. So you're like, God, are you going to move now? This is Thursday night. Are you going to move? And the Lord will say, don't worry, Rudy. I'm relying on my faithfulness, not your faithfulness. And like, oh my goodness, God, that makes me feel good. I just, you know, I don't have to carry that religious yoke, you know what I'm saying? Because you rely on his name. So he just shows up. He just shows up. Why? Because, you know, I quote that verse to him. When I drive sometimes, I quote, I quote it to him, if we're faithless, you remain faithful because you cannot deny yourself. The next moment, woof, the Holy Spirit's presence is in the car. It's amazing. It's amazing that he, the Holy Spirit loves his own word. He loves his own word. You know, we've noticed that if we put on certain music on Thursday night before the people come in, because we're big into soaking, you know. Because people need to activate their spirits, they need to soak, need to seek the Lord, you know. We notice that he loves certain music. He loves certain music. So I gave you lots today, guys. I stretch you a little bit, okay? But I want to bless you. So 1 Corinthians says that you are servants. You can't check out. Okay? You're not just a believer. If you're a servant too, that's what the Word of God says. So you're kind of locked in. And can I tell you a little secret? God can do everything himself. He doesn't need you. He's called the Almighty. But he's so kind and nice that he wants to use you as a servant. Why? Because when he uses you as a servant, you discover his nature. That's how he reveals himself, his nature, who he truly is, by making you a partaker in his blessing. Your dad is big enough. He can do this and the whole universe is gone. He can sneeze. Oops, sneeze too hard. Where's the universe? Like, you must understand what power he has. He can sneeze and create a universe. Your dad is big. And that's why I don't mess with you, because I know how big your dad is. You know, my dad's bigger. You remember when the guys, when we were little? My dad, my mama. Were you guys in that arguments? I remember them, you know. Oh, my dad's really big. So people need to watch out when they mess with you, because you got a really big dad. And he's powerful. And so you have purpose. You have a servant. You have the Holy Spirit that's going to make you look really good. Doesn't matter how old you are, how weak you are. You just need to know him. How are you going to know him? You become a servant. Jesus was a beautiful example. He served the Father. Father, are you Father? Father. You know, I lost my dad 2-3 years ago. So I know how it was like a son. You know, Dad, can I cut the lawn? Can I take out the garbage? Can I do this? I always wanted to honor my father. I wanted to finish my studies. You know, just it's about my father. Now my father's gone. Now I'm a dad. Now I feel like the father feels like. You do get a feeling how it is to be a kid. You know, some of you probably had horrible father or mother experience, and I feel sorry for you. You know, I really feel sorry for you, but I was blessed to feel how a good father felt. You know, Paul, a great father. Like Hans, I think you're a great, you know, you guys are great mom and dad. I can just imagine how spoiled he must be, you know. You know, so you get a taste how when the Bible talks about the father, how it is to be a father. Now I'm a father. It's like my son is in university. When I phone him, I say, son, are you okay? Are you doing okay? You know, is how's your feelings? Did anybody hurt? You know, I don't say that. That's cheesy. That's cheesy. But my heart is saying that. You know what I'm saying? And so in ministry, it's the same, guys. You need to understand the Father's heart. The Father gives you the Holy Spirit so that you look good. The Father gives you the godly capabilities. You're going to say, whoa, really, that's a little bit way out. Whoa. But it's in obedience, being a servant, that you will discover the Father's heart. But you need help. You need help, and you need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you know, as we do that Thursday nights, I go like, what? Wow. Woo. And when he does something, now, you'll read the Bible now in two different directions. First, you'll read about God like this. And then the Holy Spirit do something here, and you're like, okay, I got to read him now like this. You see the two different revelations? You see that? Because you will probably just get the word from this way, this side. But it's a two-way side. Because when he does something here, I'm learning something about his nature. Oh, did he do just, oh, yeah, well, right, he did that. Okay, fine, let me go check. Oh, my goodness, yeah, it's right here. So you get a revelation both sides now. You get it from the Bible, and because you're obedient and you're using the Holy Spirit, now you're like, oh, my goodness, yeah, I get more revelation. He just did that, you know. Who's signing up? Who's going to take that mantle? Who's going to, because it's always about what? God's people. It's not to make me look good to be a TV evangelist or, you know what I'm saying? That's not the purpose of this whole thing. It's all for God, about his people. He wants to bring them out of bondage. Can you just put that, we're going to finish up with you. Exodus 20, verse 2. So we can see, if the Holy Spirit shows up, what is he doing? That's one of the things he's doing. So you don't know what spirit is over that person. You don't know. Person's always depressed, anxious, just, you know, poverty, misfortune. You don't know what that spirit's ministering to that person or their family. Grandma so-and-so messed in tea leaves. Use some divination spirits. Now the spirit is thinking, oh, I own the family. And you're just a kid. Like, you're just, why a crash? And I'm always in car crashes and stuff. And so I'm coming in for a spiritual MRI Thursday night. And then we say, okay, Holy Spirit. You know that sniffer dogs in the airport, like... And then you find your brother's cocaine in your bag. Like, how did that get in there, you know? I want to make you laugh, okay? I'm just messing with your mind. We've got to laugh. But that's the same thing. You bring in the Holy Spirit because you don't know what great-grandma did in the past there. What blood covenant she made or what animal spirit she messed around with. I don't know, whatever they did, you know. So you bring in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's like... Okay, spirit of my union. Your person goes, I don't know this thing. I was hanging around. I had a good life. Okay. Guys, are you Christians or not? You can't be hot or cold. You gotta choose. You can't be in the middle. Your heart needs to, you need to, your heart's going to stir you about God's truth. That's truth. You're in or you're out. I love Christians, but listen, Christians means you're spiritual. You're not just here to clean your conscience every time, just to come and wipe your conscience. That's not what it's all about. You're signing up. You're with God. And when God comes in, he does his thing. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. You got to examine your heart. You got to go in there with a scalpel, and all that hard stuff has to go. Don't harden your heart towards God. He is a spirit. I say that to bless you, because He loves you. You're a Christian. Let's just finish with this. You know where the word Christian comes from? In Antioch. Antioch was the first time in the book of Acts says, in Antioch was the first time that they say Christians. You know why? Because miracles, signs, and wonders by the Holy Spirit broke so out in Antioch that they say Christ is walking the street. Christ is walking the street. There were signs, miracles, and wonders breaking out. So it became, the word is Christ-like. Christ-like character. Otherwise, you're just part of the culture. We do the same thing as Christians do, but I'm not really in. I'm just messing with your mind a little bit because we need to move on. I want you to see this because we need to work with our hearts. You're in the culture, but you know God is looking for Christ-like, like how Christ walked. Character. And you can only do that with the helper. Isn't that amazing? Okay, I'm going to leave you there. We're going to open up the floor for a little bit of line ministry. Is that okay? We're going to ask the Holy Spirit just to... Well, some of you is going to get a blessing in your spirit, okay? Where does the Holy Spirit minister? He ministers to your spirit. He upgrades you in your spirit. That's why you get a touch. Oh, my goodness. He anointed me. He put some power in me. Wow. You know, so some of you are going to get an upgrade. Some of you may have to come out of the house of bondage. You know, something hanging around just that grandma was into or great-grandma was into, and that spirit just wants to bring misfortune to you. So I don't know. We'll just check and see. But if you're open to that, and my heart is that you take the mantle further. Why? I see it in the Bible. You've seen, well, Jeremiah, for I'm ready to act upon it. I'm looking for the guys that says, I'm picking up that mantle. I'm going to use now the helper. I'm going to see if I can, you know, let the helper set people free, bring people out of bondage, or upgrade them, or bless them. And it's easy as that, guys. We did it from 2014, from counseling sessions to let people stand right up, open up their spirits, ask the Holy Spirit to touch them, found that there's, you know, stuff like people that's super sensitive to the Holy Spirit, families that's super sensitive. So I'm going to just, is that okay, Paul, if I just, yeah, if you guys want to.